Good evening, workshoppers. We've got a special episode of the Westmarch Workshop here for you. Consider this episode 151.5. As we talked about in the last episode, we wanted to go through and have a roundtable discussion where we invited, you know, fans, listeners of the show, just, you know, the regular community to come in and give their thoughts on, you know, how they thought BlizzCon went, the handling of the announcement of Diablo Immortal, and just a general feeling of being a community member, you know, within Diablo at the moment. But without further ado, I'd like to introduce my co-host, Leviathan.
Hello, hello. This is going to be fun. I think we've talked about wanting to do one of these for a while, so it's cool to be able to actually get it going.
Yeah, because I don't think that there's really been something like this in quite some time. We were talking a little bit earlier. I think it was Dreadscythe was one of the last people that had done kind of like a round table discussion topic, but that was more for content creators and just, you know, being able to go through and give the community itself a voice besides, you know, Reddit or the forums.
Right on. So yeah, this should be a fun night. Gonna go ahead and, like Nine said, get some good discussion from community members here, from workshoppers alike, and dive in. We're now 1 week removed from BlizzCon 2018, so kind of interesting to see where people fall now and think back as well to when it was actually happening, when all that Diablo stuff was going on. So yeah, I'd say we're probably good to go ahead and get going and have everybody introduce themselves. Start out at the top of the alphabet with Acid Rain.
Hey, I'm Acid Rain. My name is Thomas Loop. I'm a game designer, developer for games and media. Also do sound design and music composition. I've been an avid D2 fan for, you know, 20 plus years, and a lot of my game design and things that I've done in the past have been heavily influenced by the early days of Diablo design, and just general overall community member for many years now.
Thanks, Acid. Hey, everyone. My name is Echo Hack, and I'm a software engineer. Back in the day, I did a little Diablo show known as Theorycraft. We had a couple hundred episodes of that. I've since moved on to a different little career. I was at BlizzCon. This was my seventh BlizzCon, and curious to hear what the rest of the panel has to say. Forever, how you doing, man?
Doing pretty good. My name is ForeverTaken89, Chandler. I am the person who has the Tyrael forearm tattoo, Mercy on my bicep, Diablo on my tricep. And I have written into the Westmarch Workshop a bunch of times. Avid D2 fan, played ungodly amounts of hours, basically no life at grandma's during high school. And moved on to D3, I also play Overwatch. This year was my first BlizzCon, and it was quite an experience. Not what I expected, but that'll be for later. Jen?
I'm Jen, and I'm from the Shattered Soulstone podcast, which has been around since around 2012, slightly before the beta. And I'm one of the original hosts of the show. I just got back into it fairly recently, so I'm on the show sometimes, and I'm also doing the editing now. In addition, I'm doing a little tiny lore podcast called Jen's Lore Corner, which is on my website, Book of Jen, like Book of Cain, you know, that. So it's bookofjen.net if you want to check that out. This was my third BlizzCon. And I've been obsessively reading and watching and listening to everybody's thoughts about it that I could find online since I got home. How about you, Lion Sword?
Hey guys, I'm Lion Sword. I don't do podcasts. I'm not a software engineer. I do play Diablo, so that's exciting. I haven't ever been to BlizzCon, but I've been plugged in with the Westmarch Workshop for 3 years now, and enjoy talking about Diablo just about as much as I enjoy playing Diablo.
Hello, everyone. I'm Menegis, Andrew. I'm a mod of the Diablo subreddit. I have been for about 5 years now and have been to as many BlizzCons. Know Leviathan and Nineball very well throughout the meeting them at the BlizzCon. And yeah, hope we get some good conversation today. Midlife.
Hi guys, this is Kritz of Midlife Kritz. I'm a YouTube and Twitch content creator, also a theory crafter and build maker, which is where I met Nineball and Leviathan, was through the Necromancer beta. Been involved with Blizzard games as far back as like Lost Vikings, but this was my first BlizzCon, and I can't wait to talk with everyone about what happened. S. Madeline?
Hey, I'm Steven Mann, S. Manly Mann, and I'm a software engineer, write code, and Diablo is my favorite franchise, and Diablo 3 is my favorite game. Replacing Diablo 2 is my previous favorite game, which seems to be a theme here. I've been playing it since it came out. I was looking forward to it in the years before, like just always on the internet trying to get more information. And it's been the game that I've always come back to, you know, after periods of intense stress, you know, at work or whatever, when I couldn't play any video games at all. There's always been something with a new season or new content in Diablo 3 for me. So really happy to be here talking about everything that's been going on lately.
Awesome. Thank you, guys. I like that we have a really nice, diverse crew, people that were at BlizzCon, people that didn't attend, people have gone for a long time, people gone for the first time, long-time Diablo fans, new Diablo fans. So I think we'll definitely have a nice varied cast of opinions and such.
Yeah, and I do want to say that, you know, we appreciate all of you guys going through and coming on to the show tonight. And, you know, some of you continue to play Diablo 3 like continuously every day. Some, it might have been a while since you played Diablo and have moved on to other games. You know, we've brought you in because of like those varied opinions and those varied backgrounds. So definitely when we go through and we get into the conversation here, don't be afraid to say like, I haven't played Diablo in a while and that I prefer playing this game or that game. You know, because we brought you on to have your voice and your opinion of how you're going through and looking at all this. And, you know, don't be afraid to be negative or positive or whatever else is in between.
Absolutely agreed. Yeah, and thank you. Definitely goes without saying, but obviously you should say thank you very much for taking your time out tonight to discuss this with us. Like I said, it is Saturday, which is a week removed from BlizzCon, November 9th right now. So I wanted to essentially, or November 10th, maybe. In any case, it's a day in November. I wanted to start out with everyone giving your thoughts, I guess, both about going into BlizzCon and where you thought the Diablo franchise was headed, and then obviously seeing BlizzCon or being at BlizzCon and the Diablo Immortal announcement sort of put emotions or thoughts behind those two things. And anybody that wants to go ahead and jump in, if you have a burning desire, please do so.
See, I guess I'll start. As we're sitting there on the floor, of course, I've got Discord open and I've got Reddit open, modding the subreddit as this announcement is happening. And when Wyatt gets on stage, you know, Discord kind of lights up. It's like, hey, there's Wyatt. You know, we're going to get something good here. And we see the Diablo Immortal logo and he says it's for mobile. And we all just kind of freeze for a second. And we all were like, wait, what? And there was a lot of confusion. There was a lot of, I can't believe this. Reddit started exploding. Discord started exploding. And it was just a lot of like, is this really what we waited or have been waiting 4 years for? Is a mobile game? And that's really been the sentiment of pretty much everybody that I have interacted with, not only at BlizzCon, but online, on Reddit, on Discord. It's just been a lot of confusion and like, did we really wait this long to get this?
Yeah, this was my first BlizzCon, and going into it, listening to the West March Workshop, I really thought, you know, to really appease their core audience, they're going to need a D2 remaster, at least like another act and some new, more engaging or lengthy endgame for Diablo 3 and like a character or something. Realistically, I thought we might get a character, like a druid or something. But mobile was, you know, the troll answer. It was the last thing, the furthest thing from my mind that I thought would realistically show up. And I noticed that as soon as Wyatt came on the stage, you could see and you could even hear how nervous he was. Like, there's pitchforks in, you know, Reddit and Riker's chat for Wyatt, but it looked to me as though he was told, look, we know the fans don't want this. You know the fans don't want this, but this is what we have. Good luck, buddy. Because he was stammering his sentences, and it really seemed like he was incredibly nervous. And I kind of felt for the guy afterwards once I sat down from the initial shock of it, to think about it. But one of my friends, his girlfriend, actually asked him, is everything okay with him? Because immediately after following the opening, there was the what's next. And I just, I couldn't sit through it. The bad jokes and whatnot. And I told him I was leaving. And I hadn't even said hi to her. I was just so numb from the reality of Immortal being that announcement. So that was me.
Being in that room was really weird at BlizzCon. Like, as I mean, anybody listening to this later and everybody here now, like, people booing the stage was completely unexpected. I didn't expect to see that at a BlizzCon for any reason, you know? I get why. I'm not going to go into all that. I think you guys already are there. But that was kind of strange. And it was sitting in that room, like, okay, I'm 5'3", I'm female. It's a room full of dudes mostly, you know? And I'm cool with that because that's video games. It's a lot of other things I've done in my life. No big deal as far as that. But when I'm sitting off to the side listening to a bunch of men, it sounded like mostly men's voices because it was mostly men in the room that chose to boo. And to be clear, not the whole crowd booed. I get that. But it felt kind of like, are we going to see violence here? To me, especially after coming into BlizzCon, going through, you know, the metal detectors and having everybody check your bag and you can't bring in, you know, anything but little plastic water bottles and all of this. I was like, it seemed to me like, you know, and this was, like you said, right after the opening ceremony was this panel. And that kind of freaked me out for a little bit. Now, full disclosure, I have PTSD, so that may be a factor here. But I've never seen that at BlizzCon. And I was at the BlizzCon, whichever year it was, maybe 2014, where they were announcing Warlords of Draenor. And Metzen said something about this is going to be a boys' trip, and the room changed. Like, the mood changed really fast from excited to like, okay, that's not so cool. This was faster at the Diablo panel. It went so fast from excited to like not being able to breathe to like rage. And it was just exceedingly uncomfortable to be in there. That was my initial thoughts when I was sitting at the panel.
Right. So I think one of the biggest feelings I had for in terms of anxiety when this all began was probably around the time when they had someone come out to discuss the Blizzard Classic releases. That's where my anxiety started. You know, there I was thinking, okay, here we go. You know, D2, D1, maybe remastered. I was hoping for a D2 remaster announcement there. And what's really funny is they showed, you know, the banner, and I had completely forgotten about the Warcraft cinematic. And I immediately thought in my mind that the banner that was dropping in the cinematic was a Diablo banner. And I instantly lost it. And then I saw I saw what looked like a Crusader or a Paladin, and I lost it even more. And I got so excited. And then I saw the orc, and a little bit of me died inside. And I said, okay, you know, no problem. You know, they saved Diablo for last. There's got to be something that's super amazing. And so, you know, just all that anticipation just building up and just waiting. And when I saw the announcement for the mobile, you know, the mobile game Immortal, I just kind of... what I felt at that very moment was, you realize that this is your convention and you're here with hardcore PC gamers for the most part. The vast majority of people there in attendance are, you know, hardcore PC gamers. And I just couldn't realize the disconnect there. And I think that towards the end there, Wyatt really felt that. I think he could sense that people really, excuse me, people really couldn't, he could feel kind of the animosity growing in the room there. And it turned into one big, you know, crap storm, you know, with every word mentioned from that point forward. And of course, as Jen mentioned, with the Q&A panel starting immediately after, That really, in my opinion, just did not help at all. It gave no time for people to process that whatsoever. So they're hot off the heels of rage and just being upset. And immediately, it's like, okay, ask us your questions. I think that that was probably the worst time to hold a panel for something like that.
Yeah. For me, my anxiety about Diablo-related news started actually quite a bit before the con started, because we got that announcement. It was like, okay, don't get your hopes up for Diablo this year. And I was like, all right, this is guaranteed a new character for Diablo 3, because they're trying to say like, okay, we're not going to announce D4 because we're not ready yet. Fine. New character, some new content, which I always really enjoy when they do that. And so I was like listening to the event and getting excited, like, okay, new Warcraft, whatever. And then the mobile game was announced. And I'm in a slightly different camp, because when the mobile game was announced, I was actually still really excited. I was like, cool, we're getting something for mobile. I have a really busy work schedule, and there's times when I just cannot touch games at all, because otherwise it's like that, or, you know, 5 hours of sleep at night. And so usually I choose sleep. And so I was like, if I can just fit in a little bit of mobile time, it will supplement the times when, like right now, when I'm going to get back into D3 really hard and play, level up a seasonal character. And, while I'm just, waiting in between meetings, or like in the evening, like after dinner, I can just jump on my phone and do things and knock some stuff out, and it will be fun. I was expecting, though, to have two things. One, to have an announcement like they had for the Elder Scrolls games for Blades, where they're like, we're also going to bring it to the PC later. It's going to be mobile first and then PC. So cool. We can enjoy some of the content that we might not want to, like, you can only play so much on a phone before the form factor is constraining and kind of irritating. And since it's new content, like, I really want to enjoy all of that lore. So I'm definitely going to try to play this as much as I can, because I'm big on lore. The second thing, and the biggest thing that I was really, really hoping for, was new character, some new maps to play on, because that always synergizes my experience playing. And when I didn't get that, that's when I got really disappointed. I was like, so that was it. Like, it wasn't like, oh, they're releasing a mobile game, I'm upset. It was like, that's the only thing, and now it's over.
I want to
say that was the camp.
I want to very quickly walk through kind of how I felt. I had the benefit of hanging out with Menegis and I Bleed Orange and Thunderclaw at the con. And so actually going into it, we saw that there was a big question mark over a phone case in the Blizzard Gear store. And we theorized, oh, okay, it must be a mobile game. And actually I was okay with that. I was pretty fine with that. In my mind, this was the Fallout Shelter kind of move, and that, you know, there would be something else besides whatever Fallout Shelter in the Diablo universe looks like after that. So when the announcement came down and Wyatt looking nervous on stage like he was, I wasn't surprised by the fact that he said mobile. I was like, oh yeah, here's the mobile game. But when he said a fully fledged Diablo game, that's when I went, oh no. Oh no. Like, how is it possible? And my brain just started going wild. You know, how is it possible to bring a full-fledged Diablo game to a capacitive touchscreen, right? How are you going to be able to have the level of fidelity necessary that a keyboard and mouse gives you on a tiny screen without your thumbs covering up both halves of the screen? And you could tell he was getting more and more nervous as the announcement went on. I think myself and everyone else, as soon as the opening ceremony was done, our reaction was kind of shock, and we really didn't know what to do. You're kind of expecting something else. So I immediately ran to the Diablo panel where Menegis had saved me a seat. I was a little bit late getting there. But I got there in time for the question about, is this April Fool's joke? And the boos and the question that was happening there in the panel, I could feel it in my bones. Like, it was very hard to stomach, even just sitting there in the audience. That's kind of how I felt initially.
Seems like we're all traumatized as a community. You know, I'm hearing more and more people explaining, like, you know, their hopes are dashed and their anxiety before, you know, going into this and then coming out of this and then all the backlash. It's like we're having a little like therapy session here in this group. And I'm sure this has happened with other people talking about it. And that should not be your core group of fans' reaction coming out of a BlizzCon.
And talking about how when, as we're sitting there and when the question was asked about whether there'd be anything for the PC, you know, crowd, and the crowd booed, that's the first time I can ever remember at a BlizzCon people booing at it doesn't happen, because at BlizzCon you have the core of the core crowd. Like, we are the ones that shell out the money to get there to for the hotel, for the tickets and everything, and we booed. You know, that is unheard of.
That's something that I can speak to as a developer that's been to a couple BlizzCons and to PAX as showing games. Something I learned early on in my first visit as a game designer at PAX was that feedback was really important, but I also had to take into effect that people are really kind of high over the anxiety and the excitement of going to a convention in general. And when they're there, they're kind of in their element, they're in their safe place. You know, this is a place where they can be themselves and really just kind of let loose. And everyone is generally very happy and excited. And so when you get when you get news about things and it's not quite what you like, I've noticed that it's easier to adapt to that news than say if you were sitting at home and you weren't really super excited about something like that. So that I really wanted to bring out that point to reiterate that people booing at a convention like this, that is a very strong signal to tell you that something isn't right. If people are in their element and they're extremely excited, to be booing like that, something has had to go wrong.
Yeah, I think one of the other big things is, like, I've never been to a BlizzCon, so that's my perspective. If this had been my first time, I would be feeling a lot worse. Like, what I'd liken it to is I just saw Nine Inch Nails for the first time, and there was a lot of anticipation built up for that, like 10 years of being a huge fan and then finally going to see a show was awesome. If they had played covers the entire time, probably there would have been a significant amount of booing, and I would have left really disappointed. I couldn't imagine paying all that money. Like, for me, it'd be a cross-country ticket, hotels, anticipation, opening ceremony, and then really nothing to show for it except for a phone game. And the second thing, even though, again, qualify this by saying I'm very excited for it, I think the other big mistake that if they weren't going to release anything would have contributed toward the success would be, hey, you can download this now, like it's done. I think Blades made this mistake too. I think it should have been available at the con, like try it now. And if it was really good, then people would have enjoyed it. If it was bad, then, you know.
I want to jump in real quick on that note.
Go ahead.
I'm with you guys. I've been in the same park with you guys as far as where I've been sitting since the convention, and I was really skeptical until I got to after the What's Next panel, go and get my hands on Diablo Immortal. That's the first thing I did, was go and try the game out. And it controls really, really well, but I haven't had enough time as a player to solidify my opinion of it. But I do agree that mobile may have not been the best step, but I'm willing to look towards the future and see what they develop further with it.
And that's the thing with a lot of people that have actually been able to try it, is that the people that do try it, they're like, this actually isn't that bad. You know, that's kind of the sentiment that I got in talking to people, that for what it is, it's actually pretty decent. But yeah, people can't get beyond the fact that Blizzard made a Diablo mobile game when we've been sitting here waiting for something for PC for so long.
Right. Yeah. That's my biggest take here, is that, you know, something that, and this is going to be highly opinionated here, but something that I believe was intended for an Eastern audience was presented at a Western audience convention in front of hardcore PC gamers and console gamers and Switch players. And I think the first reaction to that is, when that was announced, when I learned that this took place in between Diablo 2 and Diablo 3, I immediately thought to myself, oh, great, lore that I can't experience on my PC. Instead, I'll be experiencing canon lore on a 4.5-inch screen. And it just didn't feel right to me. And I know that in some way that sounds very PC elitist, you know, hey, PC master race. But to be completely honest here, this is a 20-year-old franchise, and it started on the PC. It's, you know, it defined action role-playing games and dungeon crawlers. It's a very unique game to the market that it was released on, and this is just very left field, you know, out of left field, and to have that kind of content kind of locked to a specific platform just feels like a big mistake, not just design wise, but even audience. You know, you've just released a game on the Switch. You've got it on consoles. You've got it on, you know, PC. What's going on here? Like, why is this limited to, and that's the thing. It could be the greatest game ever, but I just can't understand if that's really how you feel about it. Why isn't this available on all the other, you know, platforms that it should be available on?
Yeah, I wanted to kind of piggyback off of Manly Man down there. This was my first BlizzCon, and I'm lucky enough to be a local, so I didn't have to fork out the money for a hotel, but I did pay. I ended up getting 4 tickets, and I went, and I just invited 3 of my friends. They didn't have to pay me. You know, so I did invest a bit in going to this BlizzCon with friends because I was so hyped. Somebody I live with, very hyped for Diablo. So going there, it's hard to say if I would have been more disappointed or less disappointed because I was there. You know, being there and having that high and expecting something and then being disappointed, maybe I think my initial reaction was actually over amplified because of that. Instead of if I was home and I wasn't at the con, I wouldn't have been watching the virtual ticket. Probably I would have been working or something. And so I wouldn't have heard until later. And it would have just been well, whatever. You know, I got home, got a little bit of bad news, but like I took a day off work, planned this, was thinking about it, my first BlizzCon for so long. And then having that really elevated that negative feeling, which is why when I got to that what's next panel, you know, I said this to a friend. I was like, the writing, how the 3 of them up on the stage were passing things back and forth to each other looked like a high school play that was written by a high school art director, you know, person that he wanted to be a director someday. And he wrote the script. The script seemed very poorly written. They were very rigid. Their whole bodies were very rigid. You know, they could tell that this was not what people wanted. And I immediately, during the middle of it, because I couldn't stomach it anymore, went to go play the game. And I made the mistake of playing the wizard first. And, you know, it didn't control like I thought it should. And so that, because I made that decision, while the graphics looked great for being on a phone, the thumb controls were fine, the wizard itself didn't play very well. And so it was not a good first impression for me. I did go back later to play the other 2 characters and happened to run into Brandy and was talking to her. And she said that she was hearing positive reviews from everybody that played it. But it's like, yes, it's positive for a mobile game. This is not what people wanted. And in an age when you have Fortnite going cross-play between PC, all consoles, and mobile, and it's the same thing. I've heard talks of Destiny maybe offering, or people have been asking for a character transfer if somebody wants to go from their console to the PC now that it's free, but they don't want to do all that grinding over. When you have all this crossplay talk in the industry, why would you not make this new Diablo Immortal a game that you can be like, guess what? You can play this at home. And when you have to go and you're not driving, you can continue to play on the very same character.
Absolutely.
That would have been what, I mean, they would have been heralded as geniuses instead of the negative reaction they got.
I want to jump in real quick, just because I think you guys make some really fascinating points. One thing that I hadn't really heard before as a potential solution is this idea of having the game, if it's going to be a fully fledged game, and I think that's something that's important, is that a lot of people seem to be keying on the fact that because this is a major Diablo entry and it's only mobile, that's rubbing a lot of people the wrong way. So the idea of potentially releasing it on these multiple platforms and introducing crossplay is a really interesting one to me. I'm wondering if there are any other potential solutions. I liked someone had mentioned if the game was actually just available, like they announced it and it was also available for download and play that same day, that could have been huge as well. Because I think some of the other media outlets and stuff have been keying on what other companies did differently when they introduced mobile titles. Because I think it's everyone I feel can likely understand that mobile is not even the next big thing. It is the big thing right now, right? Like there's tons of market there, tons of money to be made. You'd be crazy as a developer not to have product there. And Blizzard being, you know, so good at polishing games and offering those experiences makes a lot of sense for them to see that and want to go there. So I guess just to kind of put a few things into the conversation, and Lion sort of haven't heard from you yet, so maybe you can take the reins next. Just thinking about what Blizzard could have done differently maybe to introduce this game, how the introduction of it could potentially hurt it. Because I'm hearing that, you know, obviously there's going to be people on different sides. I'm hearing for the most part that once you get your hands on it, it's not a bad experience. And I don't know if that a lot of people even just give it that shot, right? Because of how it was introduced and such. So take it from there.
You know, so I have never been to a BlizzCon, and I may be wrong here, but it sounds like most everybody here in this chat was mostly looking forward to Diablo. Because I haven't heard, now granted, this is a Diablo podcast, but BlizzCon is not a Diablo convention. Right? Like, it's a Blizzard convention. And the Overwatch experience from the virtual ticket was amazing. And it was, like, way better because they had to cut from Hearthstone, which was not working. On the virtual ticket, it was hilarious because we can't hear anything. So I'm, like, on Twitter trying to figure out if it's the virtual ticket is messed up or if, like, the people at the convention also can't hear it. And, you know, watching Nineball said, yeah, I can't hear anything either. And they kick over to it and Kaplan comes out and everybody's just like really happy and it's bonkers off the wall. It goes to, you know, back to Hearthstone and they fix it. It goes to the Warcraft 3 announcement, which was amazing. And then Wyatt comes out and Leviathan, this will be to your point. He comes out and it seemed from the virtual ticket like he was trying to sell. Before we even heard what he was selling, he was trying to sell, we love Diablo, but this is what we have for you. And obviously the way that they announced it, all of us likely feel this way. The way they announced it was completely wrong. But like, to have everybody feel so sad and upset and depressed and like, have to leave the convention because you're so disappointed with what happened. Like, that seems like a really strong reaction to a new game, regardless of whether you want to play on mobile or not. Like, they're clearly developing new Diablo content. And what's the one thing that we've all been, all of us that have been playing Diablo 3, I know Dredd and I really fall in this category similarly. You know, I don't want a new Diablo 3 character. I've played Diablo 3. It's a fun game. And unless they revolutionize something in the gameplay, like a new Diablo 3 entry, not going to be a big deal. I've played Diablo 2. Like a remaster of Diablo 2 is not going to be like, whoa, OMG, this is the greatest thing in the history of the world. Because, I mean, yeah, I'd play it, but I'd probably play it for like 20 hours and be like, yeah, this is the same thing I played thousands of hours of back in college. Not a big deal. This is new Diablo content. And regardless of whether you it like playing on a mobile phone, and you know, monetization is a whole other conversation entirely. But like, this is what we've been wanting to hear. They are making new Diablo content. I don't understand why everybody is so upset about this. Yes, it's on a mobile phone, and that sucks for people that primarily play on PC. It does. But if the game is fun and it delivers the lore to you in a good way, which we don't know because the demo that they showed, which was very bare bones, the game may be great. The biggest misstep they had easily is not having the game available. And I think like the full game, like what they showed, this is like 2 years away at least. Having it available immediately would have been the best way for them to have really sold this, and that was their biggest misstep. You can't, like Leviathan said, you can't not get into the mobile market. And maybe they should have waited to announce this with a PC title, but honestly, that would have taken away from the luster of Blizzard is making their big entry into mobile. And you have to think that's probably what they thought in the boardrooms or in the developers' rooms as they get ready to announce this big thing. It's like, this is our first foray into mobile. People that play mobile games are going to love this. People that play Diablo, they've been begging us for new content, for brand new content. They've been begging for it. And we're going to give it to them. And the vitriolic reaction that they got, it honestly was kind of embarrassing as a Diablo fan to see that this is the community that I am a part of, is this is the reaction that we get. I thought it was way overblown, completely over the top nonsense. Now, so, am I like thrilled that it's a mobile game? No, but it is new Diablo content, and I am excited about that.
So before we get into like any gameplay stuff, I did want to talk to that point of, I think why it was, is that we were almost told, not explicitly, but multiple projects. We expected multiple projects, brand new game, when in reality, the environments and characters look very much like D3. It plays like D3, just on a mobile. The sounds, I think, a bunch of them they pulled from D2, if I heard correctly, like the item drop sounds, stuff like that. So it's not really brand new. It looks and feels and plays just like D3. And so I think between people expecting something other than mobile, and it playing like D3 when they're saying, oh, this is brand new, that's where I think people run into that, their biggest road bump, and the emotional stuff really kind of gets at them.
And I understand that, but I think at least some of us would agree. I know some of the people on this panel agree because I've heard them say that. The gameplay in Diablo 3 is amazing. Like, gameplay in Diablo 3 is super. So complaining, not necessarily complaining, but you know, saying that, well, the gameplay is really similar to Diablo 3, so it's not really a new game. Like, what if the gameplay in Diablo 3 is so good that they decided, well, the gameplay here is really good. That's not the problem. Let's make new content and keep a similar gameplay with a couple, you know, the being able to move around and, you know, refract. The big example everybody gives is refracting your frost ray into a prism and have it shoot everywhere. Like, that's new gameplay, but it's strange to me to hear people say it looks a lot like Diablo 3. It looks a lot like Diablo 2. Yeah, it's a Diablo game. Like, it's gonna look the same.
Can I jump in for a minute here? It's my understanding that the Diablo Immortal is supposed to take place, as far as like the lore, between D2 and D3. So it makes sense to me to have some elements of both in there. You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, I mean, I'm seeing that, but also like, it felt to me like at the second panel, when they were really going into more of what's in the game and the lore and the timeline and all of that stuff, this is an introductory game in a way. You know, like, all of us, we know who these characters are. There's going to be new characters as well. We know kind of the main story and all of the a lot of the lore, if not all of the lore, you know, that kind of thing. And this will give us some more, but some of it is lore we already know a little bit, just from the little tiny bit that was talked about. And I feel like this might be Blizzard's way of bringing in new players and kind of giving them a starting point of understanding just what this game is. You know, it's more than a dungeon crawler, although it's a fantastic dungeon crawler, in my opinion. But I think that's part of it. I think they're trying to expand their audience. I think, yeah, someone said, and I forgot who, that they're aiming at an Asian market. And I think that's probably true. But it's also going to be like younger people who, you know, like I played, you know, Diablo 1 like towards the end of college. You know, there were people that weren't like here yet that could probably jump in and maybe dig this series as much as we do. And I think they're aiming at that as well. With this, going to the gameplay, I thought it was fun. I was like giggling the whole time. I thought it was great. It's just, but I play mobile games. You know, I play D3, I play other stuff online, but I play mobile games as well. So for me, it was a comfortable environment. And I know people have been saying like, you know, you have big thumbs and you're going to cover the screen. I'm tiny. I don't have this problem. So maybe they're aiming at like women as well, because I feel like there are women that play D3. I mean, I'm one of them. I'm here, you know, kind of thing. But it is mostly guys. And if they want to like bring in more women that might be interested in the series, I think this could be perhaps a way to do that. I don't know if that's going to work. Because, I mean, I think there are people that, you know, play mobile games and they're not interested in like dungeon crawlers and stuff like that. But I mean, especially women, you got to understand, like I'm in my 40s. When I was a kid, I was told video games were for boys and the girls weren't supposed to play them. It didn't faze me, but I think there's women that grew up with that concept. But for, if you put it on their tablet, they're going to be more, you know, comfortable coming in, except for the fact that now if they watch the virtual stream or read anything about this, they may be a bit concerned about interacting with people who reacted that way at BlizzCon because it felt very intimidating, you know.
Jen, I actually wanted to speak to what you said there. Is I did play the demo. I played all three classes, and I think unlike a lot of people, I didn't find it to be fun. I didn't find it to be a good game even. And a lot of it really came down to the basic controls. So I'm 5'9", which I would consider to be a rather average, maybe slightly short for a guy. So my hands are not that big. But I found it very difficult to move the joystick in the direction that I wanted to attack. They had this system in there where you had a red outline that appears above the enemies, and that's kind of what you're going to attack. But even regular moving around didn't really feel even close to like a console experience. For example, when you're playing the monk, you can use the attack that pulls all the enemies close to you, right? Well, how do you navigate out of that group and then kite them around so you don't take damage or die? And I wasn't actually able to do that with the joystick because I would just get stuck on skeletons very, very easily. And in fact, if you go back and you watch Riker's stream when he streamed Diablo Immortal during BlizzCon, if you watch closely, you can see that happen quite a lot. In order, like he can't even move around with the joystick very effectively. I don't want to eat everyone's time, so I just want to talk about one thing in the game that Wyatt talked about that I found was actually very poor. And it's this idea that instead of having a resource, you would have charge-based skills. So for those of you who didn't play the demo, essentially you'd have a skill, and that skill would have a number on it, and that number would recharge over time. So if you tap the skill, you use up one of your charges, and you do a lot of damage, right? I found that to be a good system if this was going to be like Diablo 3 on the PC. Like if I had a dedicated button on my mouse or keyboard, then I could precisely hit that charge skill and I could use it effectively and efficiently. But when I'm on the touch screen, it's very easy for my thumb to brush the button or just accidentally hit it or not know that I actually hit it twice instead of once accidentally. And then I just wasted my charge or I didn't hit the enemy that I was intending to hit at all. That's just one small tiny thing. I could probably write 20 other pages of other small tiny things that I found that were problematic with the game. For example, the monster AI did fairly nothing. They just sat around and waited for you to attack them. But, you know, I felt like it wasn't a fun experience. I didn't feel like it was good at all. And this is coming from the guy who played 500 hours in the vanilla beta of Diablo 3 and started speedrunning it and all that kind of stuff, because it was so fun, right?
So is the issue just the interface? I mean, I understand everything you're saying about the pieces of the game and how that's not working for you and stuff, but like, is it the interface being on a mobile that's difficult? Like for me, I tried the Switch, the Diablo on Switch. I've never picked up a Switch. I've never seen one in person. I had no idea how to push the buttons or anything like that. And I struggled with trying to get, you know, how do I pick a character? How do I start this? And all, it was difficult for me. But I think if I spent more time playing a Switch, maybe I would get it. Maybe it would work out for me. Is part of the issue you're facing, in addition to these other valid things you are saying, that you're just not, you know, you haven't had a lot of experience with mobile games?
No, I do have a lot of experience with mobile games.
Okay. See, that's good to know. It puts context in there as well. Good.
One of the issues I have with mobile games in general, and I hope it's not just me, but my thumbs hurt like really bad. After playing mobile games for, you know, 10 to 15 minutes, my thumbs are on fire. Maybe I'm a button smasher. You know, I come from, you know, old NES, Super NES, and Nintendo 64 days, but, you know, even with controllers, I've had issues where, you know, playing for 15 to 20 minutes, that thumb starts to get kind of agitated a little bit. And especially with mobile games, there's no rubber there. It's just kind of glass and your thumb and friction. And so scrubbing your thumb across that screen for a good 20 to 25 minutes, you know, you can end up with blisters. I haven't personally had blisters, but it would, you know, next to blisters, it nearly felt like it was.
Yeah, I would expect, if anything else, Blizzard to put some sort of recommendation on a game like this that says, you know, you should have some sort of plastic cover or plastic protector over your screen to play this. Because you're right, like running your finger over glass like that is abrasive, but doing it on, like, I have a plastic screen protector on my phone and I don't have any issues like that when I am playing the mobile games that I play.
Right. And another thing that I wanted to bring back, what Leviathan was saying earlier, you know, what could Blizzard have done? I think that a lot of people here on the panel so far have kind of covered my, you know, my expectation of what I thought should have probably happened. I think if the game were playable today, I think it would be a very different story. In addition to that, I really want to kind of pound in the nail about lore on a phone and kind of availability nowhere else. We're talking about exclusivity here. I think that my biggest takeaway here is that it's exclusive to mobile. So if I want to experience any of this lore that could be new, much of it might be the same old thing. But if there's anything new at all, you know, it's exclusively to this platform, and that's it, with no plans to come to PC or any other platform as far as that's concerned. So I think, according, you know, to what Blizzard, in my opinion, should have done. And the big disconnect I see is that had this been a mobile game that was released as, you know, Fallout Shelter-esque, where there's no real lore there. There's just, it's another way to play the game and experience a different take on, you know, on Diablo in general. I think that this would be, the reaction to this would be quite different. But instead, what we're really getting here is a fully fledged ARPG on a mobile platform, and, you know, mind you, exclusively to that platform. And I think that's where the big disconnect here is that, you know, when you're waiting for years as a PC player for, or a console player, a Switch player, for something new to come out, this is not what you're expecting, you know, especially for mobile games. They've, yep, largely in the West, or in the West, you've seen them act as supplements to something bigger, and there's not like there's not things that you're not going to, there's not things you're going to experience in that mobile game that you would otherwise experience, you know, on the PC or the other platforms.
And I think one of the other things too, where people are getting hung up here is, I think Jen mentioned it a little bit, is who the target audience is for this. And I think where a lot of us are uneasy in this is because of the partnership with NetEase and their, I don't know if historic is the right word, but their track record of horrendously monetizing their mobile games to where they are completely chuck full of pay to win and, you know, all these pay for boosts and things like that. And I think that's where a lot of people are hung up, because a Diablo experience is not a pay to win experience. You play the game, and that's how you get good at the game, as you play it, not buying triple XP or buying the best gear. And like I said, I think that's where a lot of people are hung up on this, is they're afraid that the Diablo game that we know as a grind and as a several dozen to hundred hour grind fest is going to turn into a 10-minute pay to win experience that none of us want. And I think that's where a lot of us are hung up on this too.
And I think the other disconnect with that is, well, right now we don't know anything about how their monetization is going to work. So we don't have anything to go on to say, oh, well, they're saying it's this, it'll be okay, or it's that, it's going to be awful. We don't know. And being in that ambivalent state without any facts is really difficult in a lot of ways. But I think the other disconnect here is when Diablo had the real money auction house, which they took out, obviously, some people felt that it was, oh, if you have enough, you know, money, real world money, you can, you know, buy the stuff you want and, you know, you'll have all the gear. And, you know, as a team or as a franchise, Diablo took that out because they felt that that wasn't what they wanted for the game. So now to have a potential of like loot boxes coming in is an uncomfortable experience.
I think you're right. All the unease about NetEase ultimately comes down to what's the loot system in the game. And when I played the game, I was really confused. I didn't know how to open the inventory, and it turns out it was disabled in the demo. So I don't even know how you talk about this game if you don't know what the loot system is.
And that's,
here's a question. What do you guys think of, someone brought it up earlier, some of those cross-platform ideas. What if through playing Diablo Immortal, we get access to some of the items that they're selling overseas in the Asian markets and stuff like that as part of their shop that they have that we can't readily get our hands on here, that can be unlocked in our retail version of D3. What do you guys think about that?
So going from the mobile to the desktop, those items, is that what you mean? Am I understanding correctly?
Yeah, that unlocking certain things in the mobile game will unlock like certain transmog items or certain pets, certain banner pieces, stuff like that in the retail version if you register with your Battle.net account.
I think that could go two ways on that. I mean, I think there's going to be people going, cool, I can play this game and get this cool thing for my, you know, for the, you know, the desktop that I play on most of the time. That'd be cool. But I think you're also going to have a bunch of people who have no interest in this game at all whatsoever feeling left out again because they can't access those items.
I was going to say, I haven't played Diablo in probably 3 years. I've played Wolsen. I've played Path of Exile for that time, and I'm a Last Epoch supporter. I've been playing anything but Diablo 3, so that wouldn't really do anything for me. But as far as just quickly to speak about like mobile games, my hands are oily and sweat easy, so my thumbs end up in like the middle of the screen after a little bit of play. There is a problem with it being touch controls because it's not haptic, because it's not a physical button. You have to visually see where your thumb is. So I have to visually look where my character is aligned on a thumbstick I can't feel, look for the button that I need to press to do the skill I want, aim it, and I have to look at each of these individual pieces. My eyes have to move lightning fast, and that does create somewhat of a disconnect for me. But I haven't played that kind of a game on mobile. I'm more of like a puzzle game player on mobile. So maybe it's just lack of experience, but there's a lot of different things that really that did take a little bit of a negative to the gameplay experience. And Manly Man, I think you were trying to get in a word edgewise.
Yeah, I mean, one of the big things that I'm going to be interested in, the last time that I've been invested in a more mobile experience was a long time ago with the Game Boy Advance. one of the things that I noticed back then was that my neck would get very sore, kind of like tilted downwards, staring at the screen for long hours. When I was a kid, that worked okay. Now that doesn't work as well. And so I think what they're banking on is with kind of these short, what I'm excited about this too, these kind of short, powerful experiences, like 15, 20 minutes, you get in there, you can play it, and then you can go do something else. And lore-wise, I can see where that might be problematic. Again, I'm still really excited for it because it works into an aspect of my life that has been, you know, devoid of that. But I'm one, and some people are saying some negative opinions about this, so now I'm getting concerned. I'm basically giving Blizzard a pass by saying, I don't care who you're working with. You've given me really great quality before. I'm assuming that you're going to quality check this to make sure that this is an awesome playing experience. So
I think that's really, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, go for it.
I think that's a really good point, and I'm okay with that. I think, though, and I just want to reiterate once again, and Jen pointed on this as well, that I don't think that the West here are the intended audience. And one of the biggest reasons that I really do feel that way is that we have in the West, you know, data is not free. For mobile experiences and games like this that are we really do need to look at the fact that this is going to be an online game. It's going to require a connection. And if you really can take this anywhere you want, I hope that if you're playing this game, that you have unlimited data. I do not. And it costs me $10 per gigabyte of data that I use up. And there's a max cap at $100. I can't afford that. I already pay $80 to $90 a month for my ISP for internet to, you know, my home and Wi-Fi. But if I'm on the go, you know, gaming on the go for many folk in here in the West specifically, it's going to be really tough. Those data charges are really expensive.
Yes.
So to that point, you know, I don't think that, you know, the West is really the intended audience here. And I think the bigger question, even bigger than that, is if this game is not intended for Western audiences and they're really trying to capture the mobile market in the East, if that is the case, then if they're really trying to bring in, quote, new players, why? Not just because Diablo is a great game. I think we can all agree that in some shape or form, Diablo is a fantastic game. And not just to speak about, you know, just money in particular, but when you bring people into that game and you want them to experience it, could that possibly mean that they're trying to build up potential sales for, put on your tinfoil hat, a PC release later on down the line, something, you know, really big, Diablo 4, something to that effect? Are they trying to bring in audiences from all over the world to really prep them for something that's coming that's bigger later down the line?
I think there's two points that you made that is actually where I was going, so I'm very glad you said them. The first is, as a dev, I know there's a responsible way to handle the data in this when they're building this, and an irresponsible way. I hope that, you know, with the auth, and everything else, like streaming of stuff, I hope that they're doing a good job of caching and using as little data as possible. Because for a lot of people, that's going to be a big deal.
Yeah, the second thing, compression helps, absolutely.
Right. And the second thing, and I know this is not going to happen. I'm saying this to scream into the void because I know it's not going to happen. The business people say it's not a good idea. Everybody says that's not actually playing it, that, you know, this is financially the better way to go. I would happily pay, you know, 10, 15, maybe even $20. I would happily pay money to buy this game and then have it be free and just that, you know, that's it. You just play it and you don't have to, there's no pay to win, maybe just some cosmetics or something, but I would happily pay that amount of money. I think lots of other people would too, but I guarantee you it's not, because again, financially, the kind of microtransactions have taken over. It's easier to get it into people's hands when it's free initially, and then you can, they can coax you like, hey, you know, you've been having problems here with this, buy this item, you know, auction house in a different way. So
I wanted to mention or talk about the kind of money and the extra aspects that you don't really think of. But like, let's say for me, my hands are oily. So for a more optimal experience, and when I was talking to Brandy, she even mentioned that there are things you can fit over your phone, the offer buttons. But then that's money. Data overages are money. If your phone is your livelihood, or you know, you have to have it, or maybe your phone sucks up a lot of battery because it's a little older and you can't get a new one, now you need to charge it. So you're looking at it between data, some sort of haptic covering for the phone, a charger to charge it because you want to play, you know, the stress to your body if you're looking down for a long period of time. I may as well just go buy a Switch and have access to Diablo and Nintendo titles for the amount of money that's going to start racking up to be.
I would love it if any of you have gone to Tokyo Game Show before. This is the Diablo Immortal game is exactly the kind of game that you would actually see on the floor of Tokyo Game Show. There are tons of iOS and Android games that are coming out there, either made by Chinese developers or Japanese developers. And I got to say, a lot of them really are fun. Like, a lot of them are awesome. There's Dragon Ball Z now on iOS and Android. There's JoJo's Bizarre Adventure stuff. There's a million. There's Gundam and Naruto and One Piece and Saint Seiya and everything that you can imagine now on mobile. And a lot of them are actually pretty good. But at least my hands-on impression was that Diablo Immortal was just another one of those games, and it wasn't even a particularly good one.
One of the things that I wanted to mention before that kind of encapsulates the PR aspect of this is that one of the things I've noticed in general about Blizzard games, but I'm biased, especially in the Diablo community, I think Diablo has the greatest fans ever. They're extremely committed. Like, I don't remember when D3 was announced, but something tells me like 2008 or something, like way before it was released. And for me, it was like every day, like I was checking, like I had Google alerts. I was like, what's the news? And whenever there was a gameplay video that came out and it was like 20 minutes long, and I rewatched that thing like 100 times, like I was totally committed to it and just looking forward to it. And so, and when it came out like at 4 a.m, servers were crashing and nobody could get in. It was like Christmas morning for me. It was better than Christmas morning. And so with that, I think comes an expectation that, you know, PR wise, they maybe didn't meet this time. The biggest thing for me with this game is that, like, I was mentioning about my neck hurting, like, this game has the potential to make my neck hurt. If it's good enough, I will just, you know, stay on it for hours and play it, and I will enjoy it. And that's what I'm waiting for now, which I want to get my hands on it. And I don't know if I'm going to be able to keep my excitement up as long as it will take for it to release. I don't know if it's going to be the same because it's kind of a mobile product. But yeah, I'll just be waiting for that day now.
Okay. So I think, like, I was saying, the conversation you guys are having is fascinating to the point where I'm just like sitting here and then get kicked out of the room. This is amazing. It sounds to me like what we need next is more information about this, sort of the developers to keep talking about what they plan to do, because the data concern's huge and we don't really know anything. The power and battery concern's huge and we don't know anything. So I think we definitely have to keep an eye on what sort of information that will come out from here. But that actually leads me to think, I want to get you guys thinking about what happens next. This game was announced, whether we like it or not. It is an actual thing that is happening. Diablo Immortal is coming. And what happens next, right? So there is this feeling in the community of some derision. Some people are happy. It seems there's a vocal, call it minority, majority, whatever you want to label it, that are unhappy. So where do you imagine that Blizzard goes next? Where do you imagine the community goes next? You can tie in if you, whatever you want is in terms of more Diablo Immortal information or just general Diablo franchise information. But it looked like Acid Rain maybe had something to say about community. And then Menegies, you guys can work together to go next.
Right. Yeah. I just wanted to speak really quickly about the community and the backlash that Blizzard has received thus far regarding Immortal. With a lot of different movements, air quotes, that have happened in the past, and the most popular one, which I'm not going to even name here because of the controversy surrounding it, but I'm sure everyone's aware of the big journalist backlash that happened years ago. We saw things to the likes of death threats, leaking people's information, personal information, doxing online, so on and so forth. And I think that we all agree that this stuff is really stupid. It's really stupid to get that wrapped up in what's going on. But one of the things that I've noticed about this community in particular, the Diablo community, is that as far as I'm aware now, and I might be wrong, the Diablo community has been majority very calm and collected and together about how they feel about what's going on. And as far as I can see, people have been pretty cool about explaining their opinions and really kind of explaining why they feel the way they feel. But we are having issues with journalists and so on and so forth really coming in and kind of saying, hey, you entitled gamers, shut up. And we've seen things on Twitter, to the likes of, is it because, they're, misogynist men? We've seen all kinds of different political motivation trying to kind of push its way into this backlash, and people are refuting that. And I think that that's really good, because when you kind of push this political agenda into what is really raw and really pure, you ruin it. And it really deadens the voices of those who are complaining and have, the right very much so to complain. And I'm not saying that everyone here are angels, but I don't think that this community has gotten to a point where they're so vitriolic that they're issuing death threats to people and so on and so forth. And I just want to say that all the shenanigans that are kind of revolving around Blizzard, deleting videos and uploading new ones, I mean, that's just simply not true. The speaking to, them paying people to remove downvotes from videos, it's not true. We really have to stay focused on the issue at hand here, which is Diablo Immortal, and speak to that and kind of let the politics and let the conspiracy theories just kind of put them aside, because as much as the death threats and stuff hurt the movements of the valid complaints that, legitimate community members have, these conspiracy theories are hurting the movement just as equally. And I just wanted to point that out. So if you're, sending death threats to people, stop it. It's really stupid. It's not worth that. Really stop and rethink where your place is in the community, and just kind of help push that effort into the discussion.
And seeing it from my perspective, being a mod of the subreddit, definitely at T0, T plus one day, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, extreme negativity and extreme, we were seeing the death threats. We were seeing the calls for Brandy and Wyatt and Al to be fired. We were seeing all of this negative, 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 negative. But, as we've gone on here and the community, this is what I love about, love and hate about the community, is that now that we're a week on, people are starting to come around and be like, hey, it's not cool to do that. Hey, stop, stop with this. We're trying to make this better. We're trying to get Blizzard to listen to us rather than just shut us out because we're a bunch of, you know, whiny crybabies. People are starting to come around, and that's what's really great to see, is that we do have those people in the community that do stand up for, you know, for the right thing, for telling people, hey, don't, you know, cool it a little bit. Don't be so negative. Don't be, you know, such a bonehead about this. And that's been really nice to see these last couple of days.
Yeah, I wanted to say that. Go ahead.
I want to say that I was impressed that we saw that, you know, just a mere 24 hours later at the actual Q&A panel, some of the people who came up before they gave their questions actually prefaced and tried to apologize on behalf of the community, or stated that what was being said about them was unfair and the like. And that really gave me a hope for the community as far as how we will move past this controversy and continue to band together and love these games.
Yeah, I wanted to tie into what Leviathan said about tying back into other things. In the last podcast, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, there was a topic that was brought up of what would you like to see Blizzard do as far as an apology, and what do you think they will do? And I think to speak on that aspect of what Leviathan said, for me, we've touched on this being a very Eastern market-focused game. Or at least potentially microtransactions being over there. Hopefully Diablo will do what Path of Exile has done. Path of Exile's Asian market does have pay to win elements, but it is not, it's only in that market. And the rest of their market is, yes, PoE with Tencent. They do have a heavy micro element to their game over there, but not over here in the West. So I hope that they come out and say, you know, hey, fans, we acknowledge that this is a more mobile, Eastern marketed game. We are going to have microtransactions there, but not for the West. That money will be used to further fund, and then you go into a, you know, D2 remastered or some sort of other announcement. And I think, you know, just admitting that, hey, you know, we tried to push this as something it was pretty obviously not to the fans, apologizing for that and then giving us that little tidbit of some sort of news would be exactly, like, really good.
Yeah, and I want to jump in real quick here that a formal, like Brandy put out the message earlier in the week that says, hey, we're listening to you, you know, keep it up. It's going to take some time for a formal sort of announcement to come out, because that level of communication has to go all the way to the top to Bobby. You know, that has to go all the way up there, because that sort of stuff has shareholder implications, whatever they say. And that's just one of the share stuff. That's a whole nother conversation, but yeah, it's going to take some time. It's going to take some time before we get an actual formal statement of what's going on.
Yeah. I think at this point, you know, they could almost say anything and it would be a net positive, right? I think that right now I definitely understand that they're open ears and listening and just kind of taking in that feedback. I also think that they're most certainly deliberating on what the right, you know, the next step is, and definitely ensuring that it's the right one. So I hope if Blizzard is listening, I think that it's open, open discussion and transparency right now. And if I had to be completely honest, and I hope I don't sound entitled saying this, but just tell us what you're working on. You know, it doesn't have to be finished. It doesn't even have to be started. Just talk to us and tell us what your plans are. What do you think is next for you know, Diablo? As fans, we all have different opinions. And the sooner we know something, the sooner that, you know, we get to feel that involvement, especially as, you know, PC, console, Switch players, we get to be involved with that discussion. And I think that that's what we're lacking right now. And it really is driving a lot of this kind of inner rage in the community, is that we're not in control and our voices kind of don't matter right now as much as they could if we knew what was actually in store for Diablo. And I know that Blizzard has, you know, they've always had the when it's ready mentality and soon TM. You know, I've seen that millions of times. We all know that That's how Blizzard works. But I think for Diablo right now, I think that that rule needs to be broken, and they need to start speaking now about what plans are, what they're working on. And it, like I said, it doesn't have to be anything that's, you know, finished. It doesn't even have to be, you know, a lot of people mentioned having a 4-second trailer at the end of the mobile announcement could have fixed all this together. I believe in that. I believe I'm one of those individuals that had they kind of put this together with another announcement, it would have been a completely different story. So now is the time to deliver that. Let's talk about what's next for PC, console, and Switch players, and let's get a discussion going.
You know, but they...
I'm afraid... Oh,
just real quick. They did that. Like, there was a comic series that was officially announced by Blizzard, and there was a Netflix series that was semi-confirmed on Twitter by some guy who was a content creator for Netflix making content. No, it's not for a specific game for the PC, but they had announced plans for what types of content we were expecting going forward. And what happened? All of those things are now gone. So then that's why they don't make announcements about things until they know it's ready, because then the community gets up in arms, because now we know they were making a comic and now it's gone and we'll probably never see it.
Yeah, I had pre-ordered that comic and I was sad to see it canceled, but absolutely. I don't think that I was anywhere near in rage over it being canceled. I was just a little bit more curious about, okay, well, if you cancel it, what now? You know, what's next?
That's the Pandora's box, right? Once you open that box and you start announcing these things that aren't necessarily final, and maybe they were final. Like, that's what is on the top of my mind, is what happened in between August, because I don't believe that they made this video, they made the hype video that Brandy did, which was awesome, by the way. Brandy's awesome. I don't think they made that video with the intent of announcing only Diablo Immortal at BlizzCon. Because that, when you think about it, with all of the stuff that we've talked about tonight, like, it doesn't make sense, right? Like, it doesn't make sense. So I think something happened, and the cancellation of the comic series is kind of like my key in, because like, this was something that was official and had been announced.
Just to add a little bit of clarity there, Blizzard never actually made any announcement about the comic. That was really? Solely Titan.
Yeah. Yeah. Everything came through on Titan's Twitter and stuff. It wasn't, like, I didn't see it posted on the @Diablo account.
I thought I had seen that on.
Yeah, I don't think that Netflix Blizzard had been completely confirmed.
Well, I know Netflix hadn't been.
Right. But though I would be super excited for that as well.
All right, midlife.
And I was just going to get in here and say, on the back of everything you guys were just saying, Blizzard's going to avoid announcing any new title because they don't want to get burned like they did in the past with Ghost and with Titan.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
I think moving forward, basically two things. The first is keep calm and play Diablo. I think that's a good mantra to follow for a little while. And if for the community, you know, obviously this has been said before, but when you say things like so and so should be fired, I think if you're one of these flamers, ponder if somebody was saying that to you and how that would affect your income and your life, and then rethink that statement. It's very mean. And these people have given us a lot of good things before, and they have good intentions. For Blizzard, I think, you know, look into, maybe it doesn't make sense. Maybe with microtransaction structure, whatever contract they have with NetEase, they can't do it. But look into, what would it be like to put this on PC? Can we do it? There's no plans now. A lot of people seem to want it. That would help. Can we put a $20, $30, $40, you know, price tag on that to make it worth our while? I think seeing that will generate goodwill and be good for them. So
I also think, going back to, you know, how could Blizzard apologize or make this better? The first question asked at the first panel, someone wanted to know if the Druid class would be brought into the mobile. You know, what if like in a month or so when things calm down a little bit more and people are more receptive again, what if they did that? What if they said, hey, we're going to confirm that's going to come into the mobile, or we're going to, you know, set up, here's a pack like the Necromancer pack and put it into the PC, you know, game. I think a lot of people who are looking for that kind of thing, especially, it seems like the Druid is like a really hot item that a lot of people have voiced that they want to see. If they did that, I think that would go a little bit further towards saying, we hear you, we know what you want, we've been working on this, and here it is. And I think people might be more forgiving after that.
Absolutely. I mean, that's kind of what I'm waiting on, personally. Just speak up.
You know, and I'm very curious to know how other character packs will go, because I think, as we saw with the Necromancer, that went over really well. A lot of people bought that, a lot of people enjoyed it. How would a $5 character for the mobile game go over for people? I would think it would go over pretty well, to be honest, especially if it was a Druid or an Amazon or what have you. So you would think that would be a positive move.
But there's a lot of people who have left the Diablo community, me being one of them, for the last several years, and my main thing is lack of endgame content. So for me, you know, Necromancer was a Band-Aid. Another character class would be a Band-Aid. And I think, you know, a lot of the community is just dying for something that they can really sink time into. And because mobile is such a, you know, some people like it, some people hate it kind of thing, you still have a large portion of people who are dying to come back to Diablo. I have Diablo tattooed on my body. I have Tyrael on my body. I am dying for a game that I can sink time into. But coming back to, you know, Greater Rifts, I can't do it. I need something. They would need to come in with like another act with a character pack that involved some sort of new revamped endgame.
I really wish that the mobile game was going to be monetized through like a character pack or cosmetics or something like that. But my fear is that since Blizzard's not ready to discuss that yet, that what this really is ultimately going to be is it's going to be a gacha game. If you know what a gacha is, it's basically a, you know, you play the game and you're going to get so many, I don't know, whatever you want to call the currency, soul shards, let's say. Blood shards. You get blood shards for clearing dungeons, and then you can do that for free if you'd like, or you can pay to buy lots of blood shards, and blood shards let you roll on loot. Ultimately, like I think that's how they're going to have to monetize this kind of game that's aimed towards an Eastern audience.
Right. As far as currencies are concerned, you know, human ears, anyone? I mean, I would love a currency with ears. but to that note, I think the monetization, the reason they're being very quiet about it is right now, I think they're gauging a pretty good reaction from the Western audience, at least, that they feel that this is going to be either a pay to win or kind of the you know, Candy Crush Saga version 5 release of Diablo. And I think what we'll probably end up seeing is very similar to how Diablo 3 is monetized right now in Eastern audiences, with a pay-to-win shop or a cosmetic shop, if you will. And in the Western markets, we'll see something a little bit more subtle, as I think the general audience here don't really subscribe to that kind of thing. And it would be a smart move on their part to do so, to have two separate kind of systems released depending on the market. I think that's a very good way that they could begin to approach it. But, you know, Diablo hasn't seen this before. This is not quite exactly what, you know, Diablo, in my opinion here, isn't the kind of game that Blizzard, you know, in just my opinion here, should have been experimenting with. I would say that, you know, any other of the franchises that are here that have also been around a long time, perhaps those were going to be good titles to experiment with because they had seen content updates recently. But seeing this as your content update after, you know, a few years of kind of diddling around, you know.
What if they had done Warcraft 3 remaster for tablets and mobile, and that been their mobile thing?
Well, I think that's probably like the biggest thing that the community is going in and talking about, that even though that they've constantly said that there are multiple Diablo projects that are going through and being made, a lot of people are scared that this is the next iteration of Diablo and that this is what they're getting in place of an expansion or in place of Diablo 4. You know, we kind of know that that isn't really the case, that they are still working on other things, though obviously Blizzard will do as Blizzard does, and they're not going to announce things until it's ready. We are, you know, still currently waiting, as was mentioned earlier, like an official response from Blizzard regarding kind of the fallout from the Diablo Immortal announcement. And then some of the other, like the points that you were just making there, Acid Man, about like they're going through and having two separate game systems. At the convention, they did say they wanted to have one seamless game in, you know, multiple markets instead of having to make the game different and individualized for the Eastern market or for the Western market. But when you're getting this type of reaction, who knows? That might be conversations that are now being had, that is it something that they have to look at different monetization strategies? I mean, at this point, only time will tell. But I do want to say a big thank you for everybody that was here that took place in this little roundtable discussion. I think that it went over pretty well. I had a lot of fun going through and just kind of like giving the mic over to, you know, our listeners and our fans here and seeing what their own personal reactions are. You know, we've had everyone from, you know, people that enjoyed the game, they liked the reaction, to people that, you know, even though for some reason they haven't played Diablo in years, but they still listen to a Diablo podcast. Thank you, by the way. Absolutely love you.
Love you guys.
But I mean, it's like, you know, even if that, I think that just goes to show that even if you haven't played the game, you can still be a dedicated fan, and that you have an investment and an interest in the continuation of the franchise. And I mean, that's what being part of a community is. We all have different backgrounds, different experiences, and together we can try and make, you know, that feedback shape the future of this game that we all love so much. And that's, you know, a little bit of what we wanted to accomplish here on this kind of like a in-between episode, is to get some more of those voices in here, get some more of those thoughts and feelings.
100% agree. Again, extending huge thanks to everybody for taking some time out of their Saturday night, because I know you all want to be out partying and drinking, right? Yeah.
I'm going to
there you go. We could definitely talk for hours and hours. I want to give Menegies one quick point to end things here, and then, you know, we'll officially wrap it up. So floor is yours, boy.
Yep. So real quick, a lot of us are saying Blizzard doesn't show anything until it's ready. Diablo Immortal is not ready. Like, there are so many game systems that Blizzard has not fleshed out. They can't tell us anything about, like, itemization, loot, legendaries. Are there going to be set items? How are resources going to go? So on and so forth. So in my mind, Diablo Immortal in its current state is not ready, and I don't know why they show it.
Fair enough. Of course, we could discuss that further as well, too. You know, if you're listening to this and you have some burning questions or thoughts or concerns or things you want to talk about, definitely hit us up. westmarchworkshop@blizzpro.com. We want to continue the conversation for as long as you guys want to talk about it, so we're here for you guys.
Yeah, and feel free, again, if you ever have questions or comments, drop us that line, westmarchworkshop@blizzpro.com, or go ahead and hit us up on Twitter. We're at the WM Workshop, and you, of course, can go through and find our regular episodes broadcast live every other week on Wednesdays at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern at twitch.tv/blizzpro. Feel free to go ahead and give us a follow there. Or if you want to support the show or the rest of the BlizzPro network, go ahead and subscribe, in which case you can go through and find, you know, everything Diablo at diablo.blizzpro.com. And thank you all for going through and showing up here tonight, and we hope to catch you next time.